Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Patrick Kelly.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Patrick Kelly. As always, I am honored to be here coming to you live from Tampa, Florida.
Today is November 9th, 2020, and before we start, I want to give a big happy birthday to my son, Ty William Kelly. He was born November 9th, 2011, so happy birthday, big guy. You might have recognized Ty in some of the YouTube videos. He is loving tasting all types of produce and trying new things in the produce industry with his dad. Now today I have a guest right here from the local Tampa Bay area. That's right, we have Thomas Mance, who is the president of Feeding Tampa Bay. Thomas and I connected on LinkedIn, like I've been connected with a lot of different folks in the produce and supply chain industry, but Thomas and I connected as I saw his organization with distributing food boxes to the local community, and I was like, wait a minute, I gotta check this out. One, he's right down the street from where I live, and two, if he's a part of the Farmers to Families Box program, then I wanna see how it's going. We chat a little bit about how his organization is doing during COVID-19, what they've done to increase safety measures, but still put food into the community. Feeding Tampa Bay's goal is to reduce the meal gap across Tampa Bay. I mean, listen, they have brought community meals from 20 million to over 60 million per year. This is a strategy that Thomas is putting in place with his team to increase the awareness of food supply for the community. We'll hear from a few of our sponsors, but let's get Thomas Mance on the line and talk about Feeding Tampa Bay. Hey, Thomas, welcome to the show today.
Pleased to be here. Thanks for having us on, Patrick. It's great to spend some time with you.
You know, when we first met virtually, right, we met via LinkedIn. I saw some of your posts. You're right here in the Tampa Bay area. As you know, I broadcast the Produce Industry Podcast right here from Tampa, Florida. So I reached out immediately and I saw some of your posts on the Farmers to Families Box program and some of the things that your company Feeding Tampa Bay was doing within the Tampa Bay community. And that's kind of what made me reach out, because I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, this is a cause. I'm somewhat involved in this, being in the produce and supply chain industry. He's delivering these food boxes. I got to get in touch with him.
Yeah, we're glad you did. I think, you know, one of the things we always say, Patrick, whether it's a grocery store or a produce organization like yourself, is that we have the same objective, which is putting healthy food on tables. Whose table that ends up on and how it gets to them, I think, is the logistics issue. But the reality is, I think we have the same concern, which is everybody needs access to good, nutritious food.
Yeah, and you know what? I talked about this with you off the mic. How your guys' response rate to this was pretty crazy, because all of a sudden COVID hit. You weren't expecting all of a sudden to this get piled on your plate a month ago when you were looking at the, you know, the operations plan. You were looking at March going, okay, we're going to have an external factor hit right about now.
Yeah. I mean, you guys reacted. Yeah, it's a great point. It's something we get asked a lot. I would share with you, Patrick, now you living in Tampa, you know this. We have been prepared. We have a disaster recovery plan because of hurricanes. And so we've long had at least the structure and the bones of a process that says a disaster hits, what the heck do you do? And so we have people designated for certain, you know, responsibilities. But more importantly, we know how to ramp up quick, you know. So I can tell you the last hurricane we had, Hurricane Irma, we had trucks, drivers, extra warehouse space all lined up before the hurricane hit. So we could turn the faucet on pretty quick. I think the pandemic was larger, faster, and deeper than we had ever anticipated. And you know, to your direct question, it has been an overwhelming circumstance for many organizations like ours. But I think more importantly, it's been an overwhelming circumstance for many of our friends, families, coworkers. You know, if you bring this down to the personal and you say, do you know someone that 6 months ago had a good job and a good circumstance and, you know, they're thinking about their summer vacation or, you know, a new car, 6 months later, they're trying to scramble to make sure there's food on the table. That's a story and a narrative that continues to present itself to us time and again in and around the work we do, and one that reminds us every day that it's important we're here.
100% agree. And, you know, I have told you that I participated in the United Fresh Washington Conference, And a lot of that was talking about the money that was given to the farmers for this Farmers to Families Box program. And again, some people failed in this. And trust me, it's okay to say it, right? We're going to learn from our failures. Some people failed from this. And then some people have just thrived from this program. Some of these communities have made comments like, you know, I lost my job and I have three children. And if it wasn't for this food box program, if it wasn't for the churches, the food banks stepping up to be able to deliver this food, I don't know where I'd be right now. That's powerful.
And I think, it is. It is powerful. And I think, you know, one of the things I'm always aware of in my job, one of the unique, I think, things that we all feel that do this work is that very often you're standing in between tremendous need and tremendous generosity or tremendous need and tremendous capability. And it's a unique place to stand because you're aware that you have an industry like the produce industry that has terrific capability and terrific opportunity. Our challenge is always, how do we marry that to a person that has terrific need? You know, what do you do to step into that? But, you know, I think all of us that do this work are proud of the work that we do. We know it's necessary. As we like to say, we have a just cause and a good plan and great people. And so we work hard at this. I think, you know, I speak for all of us that do this in saying that a collaborative and thoughtful effort can move a whole lot of mountains into the, you know, in the lives of those we serve. And then specifically what you're talking about, which I think is important, is how do we engage not only private industry and enterprise and social organizations such as ourselves, but how do we marry that to government programs? In this instance, COVID Relief or CARES Act. How do we connect all of those and create a solution that benefits the community?
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know about those programs, right? They're not close enough, I would say, to your ground, right? Everybody's got a different ground that they plow, right? I'm on the front line of this, I'm on the front line of that, but everybody is on a different front line. And so some people might not know about SNAP. They might not know about the CARES. They might not know about these things.
Yeah, I think, you know, Patrick, one of the things we first started into COVID, we deployed some fairly significant distribution mechanisms. We called them mega pantries, but they're really a way, how do we get as much food into a community at one time? And we would see and still see every Saturday at one particular one, 3,500 to 4,000 families that show up at one time. One of the things we found, we did some survey work. We always like to kind of get a sense of the temperature of it. And we did some survey work early on that suggested 70% of the folks that showed up at the food distribution had never been in a food line before, you know, and that's a sobering moment and sobering thought, but it also speaks to, I think what you're mentioning is very often the narrative in the political process is that we have folks that love welfare and spend their lives on it. And people that use things like SNAP and all those conversations, it becomes a political narrative to talk about folks in a particular way. What we find far more often and predominantly is most of the people that qualify for programs of that nature are unaware that they're in their community or that they're eligible. I can share with you a couple of years ago, we applied for a grant through a funder primarily to sign seniors in Pinellas County up for food stamps because of all the seniors who were eligible at that time, and this is probably 5 or 6 years ago, who were eligible for SNAP at that time, only about 26% ever signed up. And we found that the two major barriers were one, awareness, they just had no idea. And number two was technology. So we got someone with a laptop and we started going out to senior centers and said, let's talk. Do you need some support? Mm-hmm. And so we work hard. And one of the reasons why we're always grateful to be on a podcast like this is we work hard to try and create awareness of the cause, of the conditions, and of the, you know, responsibilities and opportunities that come with food insecurity.
Well, and I think that's our job, right? I think that's, everybody's got their job too. What are we here to do for? And I think Feeding Tampa Bay does a great job at doing that. And even when I've looked at, you know, the website, obviously I've told you I want to come down and volunteer. I'm going to, obviously, you know, with kids and e-learning and all of these fun things that we're adapting to now, it's hard. The schedules are so different. But you guys are doing a lot of things within the community. I even saw on the website, you're allowing, I would say, it's hard to not say customers sometimes, Thomas, but you're allowing the patrons to come on, the people in the community to see how close is one of your facilities. You're giving them ability to put in their zip code. How far can they travel? Because that is also a concern for them too. Obviously, not having a job, not having a car. These are things that are involved in the people that need this food. And I think that was a very good idea on your guys' part to do that, because it helps out with where and when they can pick up food.
Yeah. And I think our objective, you know, beyond the issue of awareness, Patrick, the next thing becomes, okay, so how do you create opportunity and access, right? So if you and I think about ourselves as consumers, every brand that we love has really figured out a way to get to us so that we can most easily access their products and services, right? So whether that's commercials, whether it's a store that's close by, whether it's home delivery, we think about that. Everybody that's really good at a marketing and sales, or that have a really good marketing and sales strategy, they have figured out ways to overcome the barriers to success, right? Think about all the, you know, the things, the products in your home or the commercials your kids see and they say, I want that, you know, whatever it might be. We think about our clients, the folks we serve, in the same way. How can we get them our products and services in a way that's most convenient to them, that's the most cost effective, and that's the most, you know, accessible? Because the people we serve, we have to break down the barrier of access, and we have to break down the barrier of cost. So we try, and the work we try and do, just like any good provider of service would do, the work we try and do is to make sure that we create the most expedient and positive way to get food into folks' homes.
And you do this by servicing about, what is it, 10 counties now within the Tampa? Tampa Bay?
Yes, sir. And across, you know, across the United States, in every single county, there is a Feeding America food bank. We're the one here in Tampa Bay, Feeding Tampa Bay, and we cover a 10-county area. It's about 9,000 square miles. There are about 4.3 million people, you know, population based in those 10 counties. And of those, there's probably close to, right now, because of COVID, there's probably close to 1 million people that we would consider food insecure. And I think, Patrick, for your listeners, the best way to, for me to frame that is about 1 in 7 adults and 1 in 4 kids are what we call food insecure. And let me just define that, because people want to understand what that means. Food insecure is the USDA term, right? It's the university or the education term. And it really means you do not have a consistent access to healthy food in your life. And so, you know, if you think about a child who may get some of their meals through school during the week, who doesn't have food on a weekend or over the summer, if you think about a senior who is on a fixed income and may only be able to afford 1 to 2 meals a day, if you think about a family who is economically challenged, they may not be able to bring in healthy foods into their lives or have enough money to stretch their family budget to get food. So it's not someone that has no food. It is someone that has a limited access or limited capacity to get food. This all sounds like a lot of scientific, but I think it's important for the listeners to understand that there are people living next door to them that, where you and I are having 3 meals a day, they may be having 2. Or a scenario we see often is a father will get his food at a soup kitchen so that the family can eat at home together. So there are any number of scenarios that we see play out all the time when we think about food insecurity, but that's its definition.
And, you know, and it makes sense, but it's like when you're, again, on one side of the fence, right, Thomas, if you're on that other side and that's what you're looking at, you could look out your window and think that everybody's in that same world as you. And I was talking with a colleague with mine earlier about that, right? It's like in our own world, we think everything's okay at some points. Am I right? We look out the window and go, oh, everybody's having 3 meals a day. Everybody's going to school. Everybody's doing this. Heck, with e-learning with my children, my wife's a teacher. And I was talking with her and saying, you know, is everybody doing this? You know, are we, you know, and she's like, no, not everybody's doing it the way we're doing it. We're doing it this way. We're molding it to our environment and our culture. And it sounds like that's what you guys are doing over there too. It's kind of like you're molding around the communities. You're figuring out ways to help feed the communities. And you've serviced a lot of meals throughout Tampa Bay and these areas. But before I'm going to let you answer how many meals you served last year, we're going to take a quick break, hear from some of our partners, and have you right back.
Welcome to Terra Exports, where culture and diversity meet the produce industry. Let's hear from some of the exciting staff at Terra Exports.
Hi, my name is Ludmila. I live in Kiev. I am a senior sales manager of European division of Terra Export. What I like in Terra is to work with team and people so patient of what they are doing.
Hello, guys. This is Marcelo from Terra Export's domestic team. I am a coordinator, and I love working for Terra.
Hey guys, this is Yesenia. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I work with Terra Export in our headquarters office. I am the shipping and logistic manager, and what I love the most working with Terra is working alongside such passionate people.
Hi, this is Anna. I live in Bogota, Colombia. I am part of the tropical divisions. I am in charge of the sales and purchase for this division. And what I like to work in Terra is the people and the diversity we have in the company.
Terra Export.
Terra Exports.
Terra Exports.
Terra Exports. Visit them at terraexports.com.
What's up, everybody? We're back. Organic item of the week from our friends at Organic Valley. We're talking bagged Brussels sprouts. You want to be in business? Focus on bagged Brussels sprouts. Great item to keep in your cooking sets. Makes for a fantastic color break and easy for consumers to grab on the go. These should be displayed under refrigeration. Make sure those leaves stay bright and green. Join us in focusing on the organic bagged Brussels sprout this weekend.
Are you ready to enhance your skills? Every day we are tasked to make fast, effective decisions to keep up with the fast-paced produce industry. At Ag Tools, we take the pressure off of gathering data to help make your day easier and more enjoyable. Connecting the supply chain with Ag Tools is unique, practical, and easy. Ag Tools can be used from multiple angles of the produce industry, from farmers all the way to logistics companies. We call that 360-degree decision-making day after day. Visit www.ag.tools.com to gain more reliable and relevant data to see more, achieve more. And now, back to our show.
Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Patrick Kelly.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Patrick Kelly. As always, I am honored to be here coming to you live from Tampa, Florida. Today is November 9th, 2020, and before we start, I want to give a big happy birthday to my son, Ty William Kelly. He was born November 9th, 2011, so happy birthday, big guy. You might have recognized Ty in some of the YouTube videos. He is loving tasting all types of produce and trying new things in the produce industry with his dad. Now today I have a guest right here from the local Tampa Bay area. That's right, we have Thomas Mance, who is the president of Feeding Tampa Bay. Thomas and I connected on LinkedIn, like I've been connected with a lot of different folks in the produce and supply chain industry, but Thomas and I connected as I saw his organization with distributing food boxes to the local community, and I was like, wait a minute, I gotta check this out. One, he's right down the street from where I live, and two, if he's a part of the Farmers to Families Box program, then I wanna see how it's going. We chat a little bit about how his organization is doing during COVID-19, what they've done to increase safety measures, but still put food into the community. Feeding Tampa Bay's goal is to reduce the meal gap across Tampa Bay. I mean, listen, they have brought community meals from 20 million to over 60 million per year. This is a strategy that Thomas is putting in place with his team to increase the awareness of food supply for the community. We'll hear from a few of our sponsors, but let's get Thomas Mance on the line and talk about Feeding Tampa Bay. Hey, Thomas, welcome to the show today.
Pleased to be here. Thanks for having us on, Patrick. It's great to spend some time with you.
You know, when we first met virtually, right? We met via LinkedIn. I saw some of your posts. You're right here in the Tampa Bay area. As you know, I broadcast the Produce Industry Podcast right here from Tampa, Florida. So I reached out immediately and I saw some of your posts on the Farmers of Families Box program and some of the things that your company Feeding Tampa Bay was doing within the Tampa Bay community. And that's kind of what made me reach out, because I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, this is a cause. I'm somewhat involved in this, being in the produce and supply chain industry. He's delivering these food boxes. I got to get in touch with him.
Yeah, we're glad you did. I think, you know, one of the things we always say, Patrick, whether it's a grocery store or a produce organization like yourself, is that we have the same objective, which is putting healthy food on tables. Whose table that ends up on and how it gets to them, I think, is the logistics issue. But the reality is, I think we have the same concern, which is everybody needs access to good, nutritious food.
Yeah, and you know what? I talked about this with you off the mic. How your guys' response rate to this was pretty crazy, because all of a sudden COVID hit. You weren't expecting all of a sudden to this get piled on your plate a month ago when you were looking at the, you know, the operations plan. You were looking at March going, okay, we're going to have an external factor hit right about now.
Yeah. I mean, you guys reacted. Yeah. It's a great point. It's something we get asked a lot. I would share with you, Patrick, now you living in Tampa, you know this. We have been prepared. We have a disaster recovery plan because of hurricanes. And so we've long had at least the structure and the bones of a process that says a disaster hits, what the heck do you do? And so we have people designated for certain, you know, responsibilities. But more importantly, we know how to ramp up quick. You know, so I can tell you the last hurricane we had, Hurricane Irma, we had trucks, drivers, extra warehouse space all lined up before the hurricane hit. So we could turn the faucet on pretty quick. I think the pandemic was larger, faster, and deeper than we had ever anticipated. And you know, to your direct question, it has been an overwhelming circumstance for many organizations like ours. But I think more importantly, it's been an overwhelming circumstance for many of our friends, families, coworkers. You know, if you bring this down to the personal and you say, do you know someone that 6 months ago had a good job and a good circumstance, and you know, they're thinking about their summer vacation or you know, a new car, 6 months later, they're trying to scramble to make sure there's food on the table. That's a story and a narrative that continues to present itself to us time and again in and around the work we do, and one that reminds us every day that it's important we're here.
100% agree. And, you know, I have told you that I participated in the United Fresh Washington Conference, and a lot of that was talking about the money that was given to the farmers for this Farmers to Families Box program. And again, some people failed in this. And trust me, it's okay to say it, right? We're going to learn from our failures. Some people failed from this. And then some people have just thrived from this program. Some of these communities have made comments like, you know, I lost my job and I have three children. And if it wasn't for this food box program, if it wasn't for the churches, the food banks stepping up to be able to deliver this food, I don't know where I'd be right now. That's powerful.
And I think, yeah, it is. It is powerful. And I think, you know, one of the things I'm always aware of in my job, one of the unique, I think, things that we all feel that do this work is that very often you're standing in between tremendous need and tremendous generosity or tremendous need and tremendous capability. And it's a unique place to stand because you're aware that you have an industry like the produce industry that has terrific capability and terrific opportunity. Our challenge is always, how do we marry that to a person that has terrific need? You know, what do you do to step into that? But, you know, I think all of us that do this work are proud of the work that we do. We know it's necessary. As we like to say, we have a just cause and a good plan and great people. And so we work hard at this. I think, you know, I speak for all of us that do this in saying that a collaborative and thoughtful effort can move a whole lot of mountains into the, you know, in the lives of those we serve. And then specifically what you're talking about, which I think is important, is how do we engage not only private industry and enterprise and social organizations such as ourselves, but how do we marry that to government programs? In this instance, COVID Relief or CARES Act. How do we connect all of those and create a solution that benefits the community?
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know about those programs, right? They're not close enough, I would say, to your ground, right? Everybody's got a different ground that they plow, right? I'm on the front line of this, I'm on the front line of that, but everybody is on a different front line. And so some people might not know about SNAP. They might not know about the CARES. They might not know about these things.
Yeah, I think, you know, Patrick, one of the things we first started into COVID, we deployed some fairly significant distribution mechanisms. We called them mega pantries, but they're really a way, how do we get as much food into a community at one time? And we would see and still see every Saturday at one particular one, 3,500 to 4,000 families that show up at one time. One of the things we found, we did some survey work. We always like to kind of get a sense of the temperature of it. And we did some survey work early on that suggested 70% of the folks that showed up at the food distribution had never been in a food line before, you know, and that's a sobering moment, a sobering thought, but it also speaks to, I think what you're mentioning is very often the narrative in the political process is that we have folks that love welfare and spend their lives on it. And people that use things like SNAP and all those conversations, it becomes a political narrative to talk about folks in a particular way. What we find far more often and predominantly is most of the people that qualify for programs of that nature are unaware that they're in their community or that they're eligible. I can share with you a couple of years ago, we applied for a grant through a funder primarily to sign seniors in Pinellas County up for food stamps because of all the seniors who were eligible at that time, and this is probably 5 or 6 years ago, who were eligible for SNAP at that time, only about 26% ever signed up. And we found that the two major barriers were one, awareness, they just had no idea. And number two was technology. So we got someone with a laptop and we started going out to senior centers and said, let's talk. Do you need some support? Mm-hmm. And so we work hard. And one of the reasons why we're always grateful to be on a podcast like this is we work hard to try and create awareness of the cause, of the conditions, and of the, you know, responsibilities and opportunities that come with food insecurity.
Well, and I think that's our job, right? I think that's, everybody's got their job too. What are we here to do for? And I think Feeding Tampa Bay does a great job at doing that. And even when I've looked at, you know, the website, obviously I've told you I want to come down and volunteer. I'm going to,
yes.
Obviously, you know, with kids and e-learning and all of these fun things that we're adapting to now, it's hard. The schedules are so different. But you guys are doing a lot of things within the community. I even saw on the website, you're allowing, I would say, it's hard to not say customer sometimes, Thomas, but you're allowing the patrons to come on, the people in the community to see how close is one of your facilities. You're giving them ability to put in their zip code. How far can they travel? Because that is also a concern for them too. Obviously, not having a job, not having a car. These are things that are involved in the people that need this food. And I think that was a very good idea on your guys' part to do that, because it helps out with where and when they can pick up food.
Yeah, and I think our objective, you know, beyond the issue of awareness, Patrick, the next thing becomes, okay, so how do you create opportunity and access, right? So if you and I think about ourselves as consumers, every brand that we love has really figured out a way to get to us so that we can most easily access their products and services, right? So whether that's commercials, whether it's a store that's close by, whether it's home delivery, we think about that. Everybody that's really good at a marketing and sales, or that have a really good marketing and sales strategy, they have figured out ways to overcome the barriers to success, right? Think about all the, you know, the things, the products in your home or the commercials your kids see and they say, I want that, you know, whatever it might be. We think about our clients, the folks we serve, in the same way. How can we get them our products and services in a way that's most convenient to them, that's the most cost effective, and that's the most, you know, accessible? Because the people we serve, we have to break down the barrier of access, and we have to break down the barrier of cost. So the work we try and do, just like any good provider of service would do, the work we try and do is to make sure that we create the most expedient and positive way to get food into folks' homes.
And you do this by servicing about, what is it, 10 counties now within the Tampa? Tampa Bay?
Yes, sir. And across, you know, across the United States, in every single county, there is a Feeding America food bank. We're the one here in Tampa Bay, Feeding Tampa Bay. And we cover a 10-county area. It's about 9,000 square miles. There are about 4.3 million people, you know, population based in those 10 counties. And of those, there's probably close to right now, because of COVID, there's probably close to a million people that we would consider food insecure. And I think, Patrick, for your listeners, the best way to, for me to frame that is about 1 in 7 adults and 1 in 4 kids are what we call food insecure. And let me just define that, because people want to understand what that means. Food insecure is the USDA term, right? It's the university or the education term. And it really means you do not have a consistent access to healthy food in your life. And so, you know, if you think about a child who may get some of their meals through school during the week, who doesn't have food on a weekend or over the summer, if you think about a senior who is on a fixed income and may only be able to afford 1 to 2 meals a day, if you think about a family who is economically challenged, they may not be able to bring in healthy foods into their lives or have enough money to stretch their family budget to get food. So it's not someone that has no food. It is someone that has a limited access or limited capacity to get food. This all sounds like a lot of scientific, but I think it's important for the listeners to understand that there are people living next door to them that, where you and I are having 3 meals a day, they may be having 2. Or a scenario we see often is a father will get his food at a soup kitchen so that the family can eat at home together. So there are any number of scenarios that we see play out all the time when we think about food insecurity, but that's its definition.
And, you know, and it makes sense, but it's like when you're, again, on one side of the fence, right, Thomas, if you're on that other side and that's what you're looking at, you could look out your window and think that everybody's in that same world as you. And I was talking with a colleague with mine earlier about that, right? It's like in our own world, we think everything's okay at some points. Am I right? We look out the window and go, oh, everybody's having 3 meals a day. Everybody's going to school. Everybody's doing this. Heck, with e-learning with my children. My wife's a teacher. And I was talking with her and saying, you know, is everybody doing this? You know, are we, you know, and she's like, no, not everybody's doing it the way we're doing it. We're doing it this way. We're molding it to our environment and our culture. And it sounds like that's what you guys are doing over there too. It's kind of like you're molding around the communities. You're figuring out ways to help feed the communities. And you've serviced a lot of meals throughout Tampa Bay and these areas. But before, I'm going to let you answer how many meals you served last year. We're going to take a quick break, hear from some of our partners, and have you right back.